Today on Secular Radio, CNN calls for the elimination of conservative news. We'll talk about that and more today on Secular Radio.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Sekulow Radio. So pretty just outrageous comments being made and accepted by CNN host Brian Stelter. I mean, the fact that this is now going around the internet and is being promoted by the left is something that would be totally normal, something totally okay to do in the United States, which is to basically erase conservative viewpoints from both cable networks. So they mentioned specifically Newsmax. I'm a contributor to Newsmax and OAN, One American News. But also, one of the people on the show said, you know, Brian, there's people on YouTube that have more people watching their broadcast during the day than CNN's daytime. You know where he's wrong? There are people on YouTube broadcasting that have more people watching than in their prime time during the week. That's the truth. And what I think is this is a backhanded way to eliminate competition. It's like deplatforming Parler. It's competition. Twitter saw a lot of people start moving to Parler. So they made up a reason their founder had to like explain through 20 different tweets about how it was bad, but they had to do it because they were losing a significant amount of people to Parler all of a sudden. So I think what you've got to understand and what has to be very clear here, I want to play it for you so you all understand. This was this weekend on CNN. This would affect all of us. I mean, we're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We were utilizing Parler. We utilize Rumble. We utilize, of course, Twitter and Periscope. And, of course, our website is on a server as well, aclj.org, which broadcasts every day, the broadcast. So think about that and all the stations that we're on, both on television and radio. And then take a listen to this CNN, and it's just accepted on CNN.
We have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger audience than daytime CNN, and they are extremely radical and pushing extremely radical views. And so it's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation. And then we're going to have to figure out the OANN and Newsmax problem. You know, that these companies have freedom of speech, but I'm not sure we need variety. And AT&T, Comcast, and such to be bringing them into tens of millions of homes.
So these companies have freedom of speech, like CNN, like MSNBC, which, by the way, is far left, and Fox News, but, oh, we don't want to bring them into the home? Now, they have to, again, it's a financial decision by those companies. By AT&T and Comcast, I mean, this is about business, not about so much content, and just because these are... Now, it's funny because CNN is not a main competitor to Newsmax. What has become a competitor to Newsmax is actually Fox News, and that has been hurt in some of this. And so it's interesting, though, that they're using this moment to say, let's silence the bigger ones, the Newsmax, the OANs that are actually on cable, regular broadcast, but let's also take it to YouTube as well. So they mention that. What they don't mention is that there are people with YouTube channels getting more views than CNN gets during their primetime broadcasting. And that is just the truth. They tried to say it was daytime and trying to be nice. But the fact is, the left is on the warpath when it comes to trying and eliminate conservative speech, Dad.
And look, we're going to get into the constitutional issues when we come back because they're not cut and dry. In other words, these companies have free speech rights too and freedom of association rights. They don't have to put everything on. This is not like the state of Georgia saying you can't speak. Well, we've won those cases at the Supreme Court. This is a private enterprise. The dangerous precedent is it's whenever you try to silence a viewpoint is very dangerous. Now, remember, back in the 80s, we fought against what was called the fairness doctrine. If you speak about a conservative view, you had to put on immediately a liberal view. That's not the answer to this. And some people are saying that, and I don't agree with that. We have to be tolerant of views we disagree with, but we also have to have civil discourse, and I think that's all part of what's going on here.
Absolutely. We want to take your calls about this, your thoughts, 1-800-684-3110. I had a glitch going on to Facebook, so share it with your friends and family. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So let me reset the stage, because for some of you, this might be pretty shocking to hear that it is CNN calling for the removal of what would usually be competitors to more conservative broadcasting networks like Fox News.
Right.
Not their competitors. It's not like I don't think Newsmax.
CNN to MSNBC.
No, right. Newsmax is not really a direct competitor to CNN, right. Nor is One American News. But also these YouTube channels, broad shows like ours, you know, where by the end of the day we have more views than Brian Stelter gets on his Saturday show. By the end of this show, will have more views than he ever gets. By the end of the day, when you look at it, it'll have 300,000 or 400,000 views. That's more than he gets during afternoon on Saturday?
Sunday.
Sunday afternoon? I mean, yeah. So, especially during the NFL playoffs. But it's when they make their most absurd comments. So I want to play it again, just in case you missed it, because we played it in the first few minutes. But you have to understand, Brian Stelter's got this guest on, and he doesn't challenge him at all. He just accepts this as, yeah, this needs to be done. Take a listen.
We have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger audience than daytime CNN, and they are extremely radical and pushing extremely radical views. And so it's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation. And then we're going to have to figure out the OANN and Newsmax problem. You know, that these companies have freedom of speech, but I'm not sure we need variety. And AT&T, Comcast, and such to be bringing them into tens of millions of homes.
You know, it used to be thought back when I was arguing cases in the beginning of my career at the Supreme Court, Andy, that the marketplace of ideas was where you had robust free speech and the free exchange of ideas. Sometimes ideas and information you disagreed with. Now, no one's talking about, you know, advocating the overthrow of the government. No one's talking about, imminent violence, that's not protected. We all get that. But we're talking about viewpoints here. And viewpoint discrimination traditionally has been viewed very skeptically by the Supreme Court, and I would say unanimously viewed skeptically. Most of the cases I had with viewpoint discrimination issues, that is, we'll allow one group to speak on this issue but not this other group. I got a perfect example. Lamb's Chapel Church back in the 90s, they ran a film series by Dr. Dobson, and Turn Your Heart Towards Home was the name of the series. And the school district in Roslyn, New York said, no, we're not going to allow that. Lamb's Chapel School District said, no, we're not going to allow that because it's church-related. That was their argument. And then they acknowledged that they had other people come in and other groups come in and talk about, these kind of issues from a more secular perspective. The difference is, In the case we won unanimously in Lamb's Chapel, they said viewpoint discrimination is unconstitutional. The actor involved, Andy, was a state actor. Thus, the First Amendment applied via the 14th Amendment. You don't have that with these big tech companies.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. You know, the prohibition against viewpoint discrimination and against doing the things that violate the free speech provisions of the First Amendment always have to do with state action. In other words, something, an act by the states or by the government that causes someone not to be able to express themselves. But you have a whole different situation with these private companies and private concerns, Facebook, YouTube, and so forth, because they're private companies. And what they prohibit and what they allow on their platforms is not government, is not speech that is government action prohibiting the free exercise of speech, but they're private companies. The thing is that they control the airwaves and they, you know, get to a lot of people.
But you have to be able to push back on this notion that you just heard Brian Stelter's guests say, why are these people giving access? We give access. Access is given because we believe in the free exchange of ideas.
Well, he's a former CNN. He's a CNN contributor, too, not just a guest on CNN. So he's paid by CNN. And he didn't say far right or alt right. No. He said conservative influencers.
Yeah.
That means like mainstream to me. That means like, you know, you've got liberal influencers. That's not saying far left or you know, the Antifa crowd. That's just talking about like liberals and then conservatives. That's pretty like down the middle, right? I mean, we know we have that in our country, that kind of discussion. We've had it for decades, and yet they want it removed. Not because it's a competitor. Now, in some sense, I think that any kind of competitor, anybody who has something to say that they can take off, does increase their chances of getting more views. Because if there's less options available to people, they may turn to other places. I don't know if CNN is going to be their first choice, but that's what they're thinking is, can we take down the conservatives first? But you have to ask them this, because they're a business too. Would they like to take down those liberal voices on the far left?
No, this is unification of thought. That's what this is.
Thought unification. Yeah. Exactly right. And what I am so concerned about is that we rely on a couple things. So obviously on our radio broadcast, we have hard radio stations that are broadcasting our terrestrial radio.
Satellite radio. Then there's
Sirius XM. But then we utilize the platforms like Facebook, Twitter. We were utilizing Parler and we Rumble, YouTube, Periscope through Twitter, so that you can see our show in different ways. So you can actually come in and watch the show if you want. And we're relying on platforms, and so you can be deplatformed. But what we saw with Parler, Dad, was a step past just being deplatformed, being taken off the App Store. Yeah. They were taken off the internet.
Yes, because they were removed from the servers.
Yes.
So which raises this whole question. Again, I'm not an advocate for a fairness doctrine. I don't think that's the answer to this. I think the answer to this is some tolerance. Now, look, to be clear, I think that free speech is important to hear divergent viewpoints. I listen to a lot of the networks at night. I watch some of Fox. I watch some of Newsmax. I watch some of CNN. I watch some MSNBC. I watch these networks to understand where they're coming from on these issues. For instance, an issue we're going to talk about tomorrow. There's been an American hostage taken in, guess where? Iran. Why do you think they did it? Could it be incoming administration changing policies in Iran? Leverage? Because this wasn't happening 2 months ago. But this is exact. But again, that we may be taking a divergent viewpoint than others. This idea that people are so willing to stifle speech they disagree with, Andy, is dangerous. We used to say that you know, religious speech, conservative speech should not only be tolerated, it should be welcomed in the marketplace of ideas.
Right. I mean, if your speech is better than my speech, your point is better than my viewpoint, your advocacy is better than my advocacy, then you should prevail. But there should be a free and full exchange of those ideas. Look, Voltaire, the French philosopher, said, I disagree with everything you have to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. And that's the kind of position that we undertake, or that I feel.
Yeah. And that it points to what happened that horrible day on January 6th. The way you handle speech you disagree with is not by invading the nation's Capitol building and causing destruction. You handle speech you disagree with more speech. That's how you do it. Back and forth. Free exchange of ideas. Not violence. not over there. This is Martin Luther King Jr., the day we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr.'s birth.
Right, someone they wanted to silence.
They wanted, absolutely wanted to silence
mainstream
him.
Mainstream media.
Yes.
At the time, which was very racist.
And we need to realize that. He was a voice of change. He was a progressive voice of change, and I use that with a little p. He was asking for America to rethink their thoughts on racial justice and racial equality. There were some in the media that liked him. There were many in the media that did not like him. He writes a letter from the Birmingham jail. He didn't do a Facebook. Of course, it wasn't that kind of media access then. But if you disagreed with it, what are you going to do? Silence his voice? That's why they were trying to throw him in jail.
Yeah.
To silence their voice. Now they're not throwing you in jail. They're just saying, we're going to deplatform you. That's the current version. That's the year 2021 version of throw the guy in jail that you disagree with the speech message.
Yeah, exactly. Make it where the president has no way to get his message out. Then you have no way to get your message out. And your show goes off the air. This show goes off the air. All these different things. Networks that are taken down. You've got platforms for speech that are taken down, like Parler. It is. It's a new way of the battles you were fighting decades ago for the freedom of speech.
Yep.
I mean, you listen to Martin Luther King here. That if you don't, if you go this way, this kind of way of it, let's imprison your speech. That is a good way of saying it. It's like imprison your speech. So we're going to put you in jail. You can't talk anymore. And we're the speech police. It's not the government forcing them to do that, by the way. It's big tech who's just totally unregulated to a point that's absurd now.
Yep.
And we can get deeper into that later, too. Because, you know, they get total immunity from what's on their sites.
Right.
Yet they're now taking off content, even though they get the ability not to get sued for having content that's offensive, but illegal.
Dr. King's statement is pretty poignant.
Yeah, take a listen by five.
If we don't have goodwill toward men in this world, we will destroy ourselves by the misuse of our own instruments and our own power.
He's 100% correct.
And now it's new instruments.
Yeah, well, the instrument in his day was they threw him in jail. So that silenced
right away.
So he has to sneak out a letter from the Birmingham jail.
Right.
Now, it's, you know, I was playing Monopoly with my one of my grandsons. And, you know, there's the card that says go directly to jail, do not pass, go directly to jail. And this is kind of what they're advocating. And they were advocating this on CNN like, well, this is normal. Of course we need to have these companies off the air. We need them to be off of the social media platforms because more people are listening to them than are listening to us.
Right. I mean, that's the truth.
That was pretty much it.
I bet in a lot of days, Newsmax is definitely getting more viewers than CNN, on especially this daytime talk that they're talking about in these shows. But also, it's just a different audience, a different world. Why not just all compete? That's what it's all about, is competition. Wouldn't be on the air if it wasn't competing. We'll be back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
There's actually something great. I know because a lot of your kids, even if you're doing virtual school, they probably didn't have virtual school today. We've got a video that you just saw. If you're watching us on Bald Beagle, you check it out. Is the best way, Will, for people to find it? What's the best way for people to do it?
Baldbeagle.com.
Baldbeagle.com, and it'll take you to the video right there. You can do it on your smart TV, too. You go to YouTube and search for Bald Beagle. There's a new video up on Martin Luther King Day, and it's great for young kids to understand in a short way, in an interesting way, what we're celebrating on Martin Luther King Day, in the bigger picture, especially I think in light of even what your kids may have picked up on these last couple weeks in our country, not just with COVID, obviously that has been a tough year. Their schools, reopening, the closing, the reopening, but also if they were watching the news with you or caught on seeing all this military in Washington D.C. and rioters happening and things you may be discussing amongst with your husband or wife or others when you're on the phone, it's something inspiring. I think that we all need inspiring words. Do we have some more from Dr. King too? I think before we get to some of the phone calls, I think looking forward, you take these messages, they are as relevant today as they were when they were spoken by Dr. King in the 1960s. Take a listen, Bite 7.
Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so.
I mean, he had a way with words that I think resonate today. When I hear the fatigue of despair, I hear that in a lot of your voices right now.
Yep.
I mean, we're about to have the inauguration of Joe Biden. There was so much controversy surrounding that election that led to just those horrendous events on January 6th at our nation's capital. I mean, you can feel despair. You can feel we're not really turning a corner into 2021. Things are just kind of seems maybe worse. We hear about new strands of COVID. Is it worse? Is it more dangerous? When do we get back to normal on that front, the political front? And then we hear that they want to silence us. But there is a moment where you have to, as Dr. King said, you have to rise up from this fatigue of despair.
Right.
And that's what we're preparing at the ACLJ as we speak right now for all of you to go into the hope, to say, you know what, we're gonna be participants in making it better.
Right.
And the country and shaping the country in our vision. And that's what you have to do. You have to pick yourself up. You have to say, this was bad. You understand the fatigue. I understand the fatigue. We went through many days of no sleep at all, fighting our hardest to trying to get to facts and what was right, what was wrong, what were just theories. And we're still at a point which seems like the country's right on the edge. Now, those protests didn't amount to much over the weekend. That's good.
Yes.
D.C., it was never going to have a huge inaugural anyway. So people are saying, well, look at the military presence. But the truth is, it's going to be very small anyways because of COVID. So I don't think you have to take that into too much. It's like that looks
well,
like
martial
law. Well,
I think you got to get past fatigue. I mean, here's the thing. You can't, if you wallow, Dr. King was right. If you wallow in despair and if you stay in fatigue, guess what you're going to get done? Nothing. So we're going to talk tomorrow about a situation in Iran with our international our senior advisor for foreign affairs and national intelligence, Rick Grenell, because a new administration's coming in and we've already got an American taken hostage. I mean, this is just, look, here we go again.
And they were shooting off missiles.
And they were shooting off missiles.
Very close to our strike
And
force.
Here's what you have to say to yourself. Am I going to just say, well, this is what's happened? No, you fight back. That's why our theme for 2021 is ACLJ now more than ever, because you have to be ready to engage, and you cannot lose hope. Now, we've got to be wise as serpents here, and that is with this thing with big tech, and we're on big tech, and we've had a good relation with them, and I hope we continue to have a good relationship with them. But this idea that some are saying, and it's being certainly promoted this weekend on CNN, to silence a whole group of people you disagree with, not because what they're saying is inciting violence, not because what they're saying is causing harm, but they're advocating a position you is different than the position you're advocating. And all of a sudden you label that dangerous. The danger in that is you are silencing people because of how they view the world or how they view life, and that is a dangerous precipice to be getting ready to fall off of, because where does it stop? It does not stop with the conservative network. It goes right down to what you're listening to or watching right now. That's why, Andy, we've got to realize it is still viewpoint discrimination, even though it's not a state actor. So it's not actionable in court, but it's actionable in the court of public opinion.
That's right, and we have to pursue that. It's very important that we're able to get out a conservative point of view, a point of view that deals with life, a point of view that deals with freedom, the exercise of the right of freedom of speech. You know, I was thinking about Dr. King and the letter that he wrote from the Birmingham jail that has become so important. But to our Christian audience, I want to say, don't forget that St. Paul wrote many of his letters while he was where, Jay?
In prison.
In prison, in jail. And he wrote his letters to the different churches that he had founded and visited throughout the Aegean area and throughout Turkey and Asia Minor and Greece. So he persisted in doing what God had told him to do and to spread the word, even though he was locked up and in prison. And in many cases, he would dictate the letters to somebody else who was his amanuensis and wrote these letters because he couldn't see. And he says, and sometimes see I write with my own hand, and to others see I write with the hand of others. So St. Paul should be an example to us as well.
Interesting comment from Representative Cortez.
Oh, yeah.
This is AOC, as she's called. This is the Congresswoman's statement about media control.
There's absolutely a commission that's being discussed. Several members of Congress in some of my discussions have brought up media literacy because that is a part of what happened here. We're going to have to figure out how we rein in our media environment so that you can't just spew disinformation and misinformation.
Yeah, that's always good when you have a committee to start deciding what's wrong info and what's right info, and it's going to be completely partisan, that commission. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that you could have an honest disagreement with AOC about what is news that you should report and that's worth debating and news that isn't, and you can just honestly disagree to disagree, and that's fine in America. That's why we have other options. She has no one's making her watch Newsmax or Fox News or OAN, and no one's making you watch CNN or MSNBC, but there's places to go. No one's making you listen to this broadcast. There's other broadcasts available. There's so much available. And I think that we've gotten to a point where the content is good. I mean, this free flow of ideas is for the most part good, and one bad incident should not be the catalyst to start eliminating what we cherish so much as our country, which is the free and open discussion of ideas that may sometimes seem out of the box at the time, but they may not be so radical 20 years later. Think about Dr. Martin Luther King. What he was saying then was radical. Some would call it offensive. They didn't want their kids to hear it, but now that would be, you know, totally normal. That would just, I mean, it wouldn't even be on the specter of wrong, right? It'd just be accepted. He's totally right. Nothing to debate there. But as we progress, then there's other things to debate. You know, how do you have those discussions if it's only one-sided? That is not the America we intended to have, nor that we fought to create. We'll be right back. Second half hour, Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Talking about freedom. We will fight for the right to live in Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Play for you very quickly. What are we talking about? Well, it happened on CNN this weekend, Brian Stelter's show, and it got no pushback at all from any of the guests or from Brian himself, the host of the broadcast. Take a listen.
We have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger daytime, a larger audience than daytime CNN, and they are extremely radical and pushing extremely radical views. And so it's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation. And then we're going to have to figure out the OANN and Newsmax problem. You know, that these companies have freedom of speech, but I'm not sure we need variety. And AT&T, Comcast, and such to be bringing them into tens of millions of homes.
And that's their hit. They're not going. They're going to say, "Well, we're not saying Newsmax doesn't have right to speech, but that they're going to target the companies, Dad." Which is what we've seen happen: is that they targeted Amazon, they target Facebook, they put the pressure on Twitter to deplatform people to take them off the air. And because
it's a secondary boycott issue.
Yeah, they say it's not Newsmax that we're not trying to trample on their freedom of speech. We just don't want them to reach as many people, which is trampling on their freedom of speech because they fought hard to get that network time.
Yeah. And so it's similar to a case I argued back in the 80s, is these secondary boycotts. In other words, you're not boycotting directly, but you're saying to people, put pressure on them so that that person will not rent their hotel to this particular group. Now it's put pressure on them so that you don't have your cable airwaves open to that group that's already been on your broadcast because, you may find that advertisers may boycott you. This is cancellation culture that we've been talking about. But this is not, I want to tell you this, I've been practicing law, Andy and I collectively have been practicing law about 90 years.
This is a harder battle.
Yeah, it's a very hard, it is a harder battle because there's no state action. But what makes it even harder is there are all these people saying, well, there's so many avenues of communication, but there really aren't.
No.
It's a handful of major platforms that you have to be careful with. And that's what we're really talking about.
You have YouTube, you have television, radio, and then you have places like Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
And they got rid of...
Then you got Rumble and you got these others,
they try to take them down. And yes, it's tough to compete with the big guys. You have to come up with a great idea. But when the big guys are actively taking you down, it's a real problem. Let's go to Robert in Maryland on line one. Hey, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Jordan and hi, Jay. I wanted to ask the both of you, why do you believe, in addition to competition and ratings, what could be some of the other ideas or reasons behind CNN wanting to shut down conservative voices, in addition to just disagreeing with the ideas? Is it a push toward totalitarianism? Because in every totalitarian regime, you find throughout history, one of the things that they attack
media
is
control.
Freedom of speech in the media, and they
Absolutely.
Control it.
Absolutely.
Is that what's happening here?
Well, I think, CNN used to have a program called Crossfire. And they don't anymore because that was the right and the left, and they would debate. It was a good program, actually, and I was on it a lot.
Tucker Carlson
was on CNN.
Now they like to get rid of him
host.
On TV, you know?
Yeah, now they're going after him. So here's what it is. It's trying to eliminate anti-counter viewpoint, Andy. That's, to me, is what it is. It's if your narrative is not our narrative, we don't want you to have access to that narrative.
And then you're changing
people's minds because that's all
they
hearing.
Have nowhere else to go.
Well, I mean, Robert is absolutely right. This is an attempt to stifle conservative speech by just sort of saying that, and what Sandy Cortez, the congresswoman from New York, is saying, we got to rein in the media environment so you don't spew misinformation and disinformation. Based on what? Whose misinformation and disinformation? You think it is misinformation and disinformation. I happen to think it's the truth. Am I not entitled to speak and hear my viewpoint? I think I am.
What is truth?
What is truth? That's right. Ask Pontius Pilate.
Right.
So again, folks, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Listen, I don't think it's a question of how dangerous do you think this could be, because we're already seeing it. We've already seen what happened to Parler. We've already seen what happened to the president. We've already seen what's happened to others. And now they're trying to target more mainstream outlets, like a Newsmax, which I'm a contributor to. And again, just to try and keep anyone new out, anyone who's gaining new steam, let's get them out. Let's get Parler out. Let's get Newsmax out. OAN, let's get them out. Let's target. You know they don't like a conservative talk radio and Christian talk radio either. So they'd like to get this out too. It's going to be tougher for them, but they'd like to try.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Interesting, because the same person, by the way, former Facebook executive, now CNN contributor that was on Brian Stelter's show on CNN, which is about the media, he also went on to say that we should use the same tactics as the U.S. security used to remove ISIS from the internet to use against conservative influencers, Glenn Greenwald, who's not necessarily a conservative, but just hates the idea of silencing speech. And I agree with him on that aspect, that speech is speech is speech. And it's protected. It should be protected. Because take a listen. Here's where he goes further than just saying, well, I don't want to, you know, Newsmax, they've got a right to free speech to these people, but AT&T and Verizon and Comcast don't have to put them on the air. Take a listen. He goes a step further.
There needs to be an intentional work by the social media companies collaborating together to work on violent extremism in the same way they worked on ISIS.
I mean, he uses that violent extremism, Dad, in the same context when he said conservative, right? You know, that right. Blaming all of us for 5,000 people out of the 75 million who voted for President Trump. You know, it's right. like that is, and you blame Newsmax on that. Like, I was on Newsmax. I'm going to be on there later today. Same show. It follows our show live, John Bachman show. And we were talking about the different options to challenge, you know, the Electoral Count Act, and the riot began. Newsmax wasn't promoting some riot. They were shocked too. But yet he's lumping them in.
Well, that's because it's easy to lump things together to get to a desired result. And one of the things you got to fear in this, and Logan, you brought this up earlier over the weekend, is CNN was so brazen with this. They didn't hesitate to say it. They promoted it. And they haven't sought to clarify it. They mean it.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Stelter is the worst. I mean, when it comes to these things, he's always the person who's out there kind of poking at conservatives to the point of making you uncomfortable, saying things that are ridiculous. If you listen to the reprogram, we joke around about him a lot because it's always this very intentional attack. Now, when you look at the way that the conservatives were presented in that, it is a little alarming. And I think when you go back to the parlor situation, that's the situation where I think things took an interesting turn, because it went from taking you off an app store to removing you from the internet, from your servers being shut down with 24 hours notice. That is something we all need to be taking a look at. And it's such an odd time, because you do want to also, if you don't hear the other side of the, you know, point of view, how will you ever know what you disagree with? I mean, that is sort of a big issue, that if it's just being fed one way, again, it does feel a little like what you hear comes out of North Korea, which is just, here's one viewpoint. This is the viewpoint we all agree on. We all understand in America. We all understand in society. And we don't move. You're not even allowed to hear the other person's point of view. That is a deep concern. It's a concern for Christian television. It's a concern for Christian radio, a concern for conservative side. And also, as we all know, history repeats itself. There's a cyclical nature to society, whether you're coming out of the 60s and the protests that came out of the 60s, and then you move into the 80s, where everything became capitalism and corporatism, and you know that is what became that. So how do we not know 10, 15, 20 years from now, tides will turn back to where the shoe to be on the other foot, where all of a sudden the liberal view can't be heard? No, and I think that's the main difference between these conservative outlets and the liberal outlets, is the conservative outlets go, no, you have every right to be there exactly. In this space.
They would never, ever promote this idea.
No.
Never. Conservatives.
Never. Just like everyone denounced the attacks immediately on the Capitol. Pretty much everybody came out and said, This is horrible immediately. Not something you would have seen from the other side. This is where you have to take a big look at this and go, okay, now look, we have to be careful. Everyone has to be careful. I think you have to be careful in your media press. Careful today and anything. Yeah, because we're used to, honestly, radio. But then, honestly, what did we see in radio? We saw top conservative leaders in radio, people who run the networks, come out and tell their hosts, you better be careful.
Yep, yeah.
And these are people that, honestly, you would never expect. They're the only reason that people are listening to these stations. And that's also the main problem, is CNN showed their cards a little bit when they said, you know, this is getting bigger ratings than we are. Well, no kidding, which shows where the influence at. They don't want the influence from people finding the transition their own either. Media.
They could make the transition. They could put more available on YouTube. They can make more available, but it's not the same.
They're
kind
stuck
of
in a traditional point of view.
They're stuck. Yeah. And you know, that's when they want to bring back these laws, these ancient laws, because they cable news, they want to be the only voice. Cable news is not the only voice anymore. It's one important voice. I think, like, for Newsmax to have a cable news channel, for OAN to have that, makes them a bigger voice than just their web presence. But if you look at their web presence, it is gigantic. We have a video that we posted, one of the Newsmax interviews I did. It has like 1.3 million views. Brian Seltzer's never had a show that's had 1 million people watching.
No, I saw the other day. I saw the other day that
probably 100,000 people watching or less.
Yeah, I saw a thing that you did with Will. I mean, months ago. It was like a Nancy Pelosi thing.
Yes.
And I think it had 1.5 million views. Now, Brian Seltzer, for the month, didn't have 1.5 million.
We keep saying Seltzer, which Brian Seltzer is Jump, Jive, and Whale, the swing king of the 90s. Okay. But no, I say it too. You know. But no, I understand. You're right. The media landscape has changed completely. And I think that's for the better. I think it's good that there are obviously your traditional cable outlets. And you're right.
Is shaking up their entire lineup. Started this morning.
Yeah. Yep.
They're doing that because things are constantly changing. They're constantly evolving, constantly trying new
Martha
systems.
They moved Martha McCallum to the morning with the 3 o'clock with where Bill Hemmer was.
They put Bill Hemmer
back in the morning
with Dana Perino.
So why are they doing that? Because they're trying to figure out. And one of the problems with this is, Andy, is that this idea that if you shut a valve down, if you don't have the release of free speech, it's like a tire. If you don't have that release valve, you know what happens? What happened on January 6th.
Yes.
Right.
That's what you got. The beauty of a country that supports free speech is it gives the outlet for the American people here in our country the ability to redress their grievances, to petition Congress, to speak out on the streets, to engage the culture.
So if you squelch that down,
you end up with violence in every other culture. That's what happens.
Well, that's happened. That happened in the Roman Empire. The emperor used to come into the cities riding on his horse, and the people would stand around, and you got to get the emperor's attention, and what would you yell? One word, bread, bread, give us food. And he heard it. But that was with the same. You can't squelch that, because once you squelch the ability of the people to demand from their government redress of grievances to be heard, you have explosions. You have what happened on January 6th. You have the terrible things that this suppression of free speech can give. It's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, listen to Bite 8. Again, I keep going back to how Martin Luther King, we celebrate because of Martin Luther King Day, but so much of what he says is timeless and can be applied to almost every situation we go through. Take a listen to the Bite number 8.
We are called to speak for the weak, for the voiceless, for the victims of our nation, and for those it calls enemy.
And right now, the enemy is the conservative voice.
Right.
Right now, the enemy for Joe Biden, for Kamala Harris, for these networks, for these platforms, is us. Conservative. They didn't say alt-right. They didn't say extreme right. They said conservative.
Conservative influencers, which is a huge, huge spectrum of people from all, I mean, if you on Instagram, you're probably following tens, thousands of them. You could say that about Hollywood actors who have become more conservative over the years. You could say that about anybody who's posting conservative political points of view, and not even political. And somebody commented, I think it's interesting, saying, you know, it is that sort of old like saying and look of that, you know, the more liberal perspective looks at you and says, you're a horrible person. And the conservative looks at a liberal person and says, I think you're a good person, just with bad views. Right. And I think that is the problem, is they're treating you
You're an American with views I disagree with.
Right, not you're the enemy. And this is the big concern. And look, not that there aren't fringe on both sides. There absolutely are. But the mass majority of people feel this way.
The fringe is motivated more by these cancellations and more by this feeling of their of when they hear this. Then if you just, like you said, Ed, it's like that's what pops up, unfortunately, when you don't have anywhere else to express views.
Yeah.
And express views that are, that doesn't mean they should do no monitoring, by the way. You know, the funny thing is they weren't doing any. And because they have that Section 230 protection where they're not liable for anything that goes up on their site.
Matter.
There's executions. There's live murders going on Facebook. Remember that time? There were live murders and things like that.
It still happens from time to time.
Yes.
I mean, look, it's a problem with YouTube. YouTube, I love the platform. You know, my channel has done very well, and I'm very appreciative of the platform that I have on YouTube. But they tell you, if you don't monitor your comments, you can get kicked off.
Comments.
And when you have a video like mine that has 1.7 million plays, it's almost impossible to go through every day the amount of comments that come in and roll in. Every day.
It could be a video that's a month old.
It's a video 6 months old, and it gets comments every day because it's now just rolling. And the problem is if I don't go in there or someone doesn't go in there. Now, some, they obviously check if there's horrible profanities. There are some self-checks there. But there are things I go through every day and go, I can't believe someone put this on the internet. I got to delete it because it could get flagged on you, get flagged, and all of a sudden we're shut down. This is where it's becoming a tough thing.
They're making you be a moderator, not them.
Right. They have their own self-moderator, but then you have to self-moderate. You even have to self-moderate and say whether you think an advertiser will like this video.
And whether a comment.
It's a whole deal.
And a person's comment.
Yeah, you have to be super careful. And I mean that for everyone who's listening, everyone who's watching. I mean, look, Bald Beagle, our kids channel, is marked for kids. It's specifically for kids. So there are no comments. So that's actually a little bit of
It makes it a little bit easier.
Because your kids aren't exposed. They know, at least they're smart enough to know YouTube, don't expose kids to these horrible things people say. But you can still thumbs up.
We come back. A lot of people have got questions about the legal challenge. You know, Parler's in court now with Amazon. I'll be talking about that later today, too. And it's uphill.
Are they back on there online?
They're back on.
The page is up, but they have not relaunched the service.
Because I don't think they have the
proprietary
information yet to relaunch it yet. We'll answer some of these calls. A lot of people are calling and say, what about the legal challenges? So let's get into that. Now that we've kind of explained the issue, we go deeper there. 1-800-684-3110. As always, go to aclj.org. Support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you.
And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So I wanted to start taking some calls about more like how to fight this here in court. So we've got a lot of questions about this, and there are actual legal challenges ongoing right now. One is on Parler taking Amazon to court right now. They're looking for an injunction to get them back on. So let's go to Rebecca in California on line three. Rebecca, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. So bear with me because there's a lot in this question, but in essence, having worked at big tech for over 25 years and seeing the monopoly that has grown with AWS and Microsoft Azure that does all the hosting for these new media platforms like Newsmax and OAN through the internet, hosting their servers, and seeing how telecom has changed, both with AT&T and Verizon, what has occurred with Parler, to me, looks to be a huge antitrust issue. And I'm interested to know, because of FCC regulations, antitrust law, and the fact that these are private companies, but they're publicly traded, how is it that they could isolate and say no conservative speech on YouTube or these platforms?
The fact that they're publicly traded does not mean they're a public forum or that they're a government speech. That just means their stock ownership is traded publicly. You could buy their stock. With regard to the antitrust aspect of it, I was just looking at Andy when he said that. I mean, antitrust litigation, I've been involved in some of that. You're talking about a decade.
Oh, the antitrust litigation takes on forever. I remember we had an antitrust division in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Atlanta, and all I remember them doing is coming to me for immunity requests. And I said, you want to immunize everybody? Who are you? Have any defendants you intend to prosecute? And they never did. All they did was immunize people and take testimony in the grand jury. You're talking about decades and decades of complex litigation when you talk about antitrust laws.
In the Parler case, it's not Parler saying that Twitter tried to shut us down. So it's not like a competitor trying to shut them down. It's they were taken off literally the server itself, AWS issue she was talking about, which is the Amazon server program.
So how a lot of people use it because it's very reliable. Obviously, it's Amazon. They're very reliable.
I'm sure the Microsoft one is too.
So how vulnerable are these companies to like Amazon and these others? Listen, if somebody went after us to deplatform us, which we hope they don't do,
yeah, don't give them any ideas.
No. But we're giving them nothing to deplatform. We're having a conversation about free speech.
Yeah, I mean,
I've said they have the right to say yes or no. The question is, it's not hard.
No, it's a couple flips of switches and you're done. I mean, the only thing would be holding us out is that hopefully your Christian radio stations and your conservative radio stations would keep you on the air. Yeah, but is, and TBN and Christian television, which, by the way, like I said, if they're going to go after your Newsmax, your TBN is next.
Right.
True.
Who's got shows like Huckabee.
Right.
Which they didn't have like 4 years ago, but they brought that back. I know he's doing like an inaugural special for TBN.
Yep.
Something different for them than they've done in the past 10 years. So, again, all of that to me just signals that they'll come for Parler because they'll try to say, well, look, they were this open place and there was so much craziness going on there. Because they were a brand new company protected by what? Section 230. Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, they got the same protection for. So as a new company, they weren't held to the standard of having to have the same kind of monitoring because they didn't have the same kind of resources to monitor. So how do you set? But again, I think that's the perfect example of they don't want to just take down a show is now what I'm seeing. They want to take down the place that's hosting the show. So your entire platform, Newsmax out. So it's every show on Newsmax.
Instead of saying, let's call to cancel X host.
Right, you know, they moved past that.
Certain show. It's beyond that. That was my big concern when they came for Parler as a platform, not for people, not for broadcasters, not for a show. Because look, if you don't have advertisers, you know, all that, those shows can crumble quickly. When they're saying to deplatform the entire network or the entire service, that is where you have to be very careful. Look, I've no really, really liberal friends who hate this idea because they know it could easily, the shoe could be on the other
foot. Except for the, like what you said, conservatives don't don't think this way. We don't say silence the other side.
It would never happen.
Right.
It would never happen. But I'm saying the other way, they see at least
the funny thing to me is that these tech companies don't understand that, like, Section 230 was created by Republicans. I mean, that's created by conservatives to allow them to grow as businesses. And yet they're now abusing that to silence conservative voices. Let's go take the final couple calls of today, because this is when we're getting a lot now, Dad. People are talking about the fairness doctrine again from the other side.
Yeah.
Because saying maybe we need it. Jerry in Virginia on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
I appreciate you taking my call. I agree with your comments. I'd say 99.999% of the time. But it's ironic that you just mentioned the fairness doctrine, because if the First Amendment does continue to be attacked, then at least the conservative view will be displayed. So it only applies, I suppose, to radio and television. But at least you have a cordial and perhaps a civil conversation that that can be.
Yeah. Jerry, I'm opposed to the fairness doctrine. I didn't like it before. I don't like it now. You know, this is the old story. We complained about it because it was stifling conservative speech. So get rid of the fairness doctrine. And of course, conservative speech, I mean, I think about Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, us, others, programs grew exponentially. So now we're on the shoes on the other foot. We've got big tech saying, we want to silence these conservatives. I want to use more speech to beat them back. I don't want to use government compulsion. At least that's where my head is right now.
I think you're right. I think that's the way to do it, because again, it could quickly turn against you
in a minute,
very fast. And that's been the reason we've been against it before.
But the danger of any culture, Andy, that silences you're not talking about, like you said, Jordan, 75 million people voted for Donald Trump. To silence half the country, point of view, it's really setting up for danger, in my view. Every culture has experienced this. The First Amendment is the safety valve. It's the air pressure release. That's what it was designed for. And you remove that, and you create problems. Unfortunately, it's human nature.
Well, I agree, Jay. I think the only answer to speech is more speech.
Yep.
And more speech and more speech and never stifling speech. And again, as I said, whether you agree with it or not, I defend to the death the right to express yourself in any way you can, religiously, politically, economically, socially. That's not just freedom of expression verbally, but to express yourself in the point of view that ultimately takes stock in the marketplace. But you don't suppress speech by trying to do the things that we see on CNN and so forth.
Now, can you imagine if 75 million people decided tomorrow we're not going to use Amazon anymore because we're mad at them? I mean, they could do that. They have the right to do that. Good. But that's not good business.
No, and simply it was not going to happen. I mean, it's just not going to happen. It's the convenience of life at this point digitally. Hey, it is Martin Luther King Day. I want to say, as we wrapped up the show, we do have a brand new Bald Beagle video. If you haven't seen it, for your kids, go watch it. BaldBeagle.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And check out what we're doing. We obviously do new shows also on my channel on youtube.com/LoganSekulowReprogram, or just search for Logan Sekulow. Click that subscribe button. We'll have a new show up later today or tomorrow.
All right, folks. A great discussion today. I think on MLK Day, especially when talking about speech, talking about the need to allow speech that again, may seem at the time radical to some voices, to some ears. And then you see, like with Martin Luther King, that over a period of time, it becomes totally acceptable. Like this is nothing to disagree about, that everyone on every side of the aisle politically and all over the world agrees with. And that you're in the minority of the minority if you disagree with what Dr. Martin Luther King was talking about in the 1960s. At the time, extremely radical. They would consider that offensive speech that children shouldn't be able to hear, that white kids shouldn't be able to listen to. We don't want to get to that point, folks.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.